Right, Jake, something horrible happened to me. So we were talking about how when you're thinking of a character or an NPC, and you start, you're doing voices,
Yeah,
you're trying to
I
find
frequently
kind of what
sit
sounds good.
driving my car alone and I'm doing character voices. And
A
yeah, that's
lot of it happens while driving, right? That's a good
it's
sign.
almost always while driving.
But at my work, I work in a pretty like secluded area. I've got kind of my own area, and I'm doing my thing, And I'm planning for this upcoming campaign that we have, and it's using this system, City of Mist, which is all based on like myths and folklore and legends and fairy tales and stuff, and people like channeling that power, right? So I was trying to think of some like cool kind of fables or myths to pull from, and I was going through some in my head, and I thought of kind of an interesting idea that you could do with like the big bad wolf. Okay, so I'm
Okay.
thinking of this like this kind of patron that gives you power, being the big bad wolf and powers that could come along with that. And I'm just I was thinking of like different ways you could play that, really dark and gritty. And I kind of came to the conclusion of like, what if, he's like a little more laid back, kind of trying to help you along this journey. And, I naturally come to this conclusion of like kind of thinking of what that voice would sound like.
I
Oh
know where
my
it's
gosh.
going.
I'm so glad I
I know
haven't.
where it's going. I'm so excited.
I'm so glad I haven't told you this story yet and that we could do it on mic, bro. I'm sitting there doing my work, minding my own damn business, and I go, "I'm the big bad wolf." And I turn around and my boss is right there, and there's no way he didn't hear me. There's no way. It was nightmare. It was an actual nightmare come to life. He's dead. I don't even know if the mic's picking up his laugh. It was horrible. It was actually the worst thing. So never again. I'm never.
Not say anything?
No. He said, "Hey, how's your day going?" I was like, "Oh, pretty good. I'm things are running well so far."
I'd be so put off if I turn the corner
Also,
and
there
just
could not
hear
be a word,
someone go, "I'm
dude.
the
There's also not a worse like voice or line that you could say. Like if I was like, "Oh, I'm Strahd von Zarovich," whatever, at least it would just sound like
Oh my
nonsense.
God.
There, but fucking, I'm the big bad wolf, bro. Like, Jesus
Dude,
Christ.
that's a fucking word. That's so bad. That's so, if I was your boss, I'd fucking fire you so damn
Dude.
fast. I'd be like, this guy's a creep. He's
So
gone.
basically, what I'm saying is, I got the voice down. I'm ready.
Oh my fucking God.
It was
Oh.
horrifying. So voices will be only in the car now. It is only a car time activity.
Oh my God, my stomach hurts. Holy
I
shit.
think I couldn't even hear you laughing. I think your mic just
No,
fully
my mic was picking it
peaked.
up. I can see it on Audacity. It's
Good.
fucking
I'm glad.
I'm fucking giggling, man. That's so fucking funny.
Oh, dude.
I'm
Big bad wolf.
the
I'm glad that I got a funny story out of it, especially now that we're recording things like this, but oh my
You
God,
should
I
ask him
wish
at some
it
point.
did
Employer
not.
reviews, you'd be like, "Hey, what am I, motherfucker?"
Get on my name tag.
Big bad
Keegan, big bad wolf.
wolf.
That's my podcast title now. I'm not the forever GM. I'm the big bad wolf. That's horrible.
Dude, I'm fucking gone. That's so fucking funny. I'm so
All
glad
right,
you
well,
not told
aside.
me that. Dude, holy shit.
Aside from my own horror stories, I do have some stories here that...
My stomach hurts so bad.
So, my name's Keegan. This is my friend Jake, and we are the Gelatinous Dudes.
Oh, fuck.
Our goal is to try to give some advice about tabletop RPGs, read some funny stories, and maybe... Well, first
maybe
of all,
get a laugh
entertain
out of
you.
People.
Get a laugh, and secondly, hopefully, help some people run their games or play in their games better. Oh, that threw me. I'm way off track.
I'm fucking gone right now. That's all I could. I just think of playing through my head and how nervous you were at.
Dude, it wasn't even like I am like a pretty nervous person, but like. It was truly just like my body just, my brain just like shut down. It was like just absolutely not, just like fully went into like NPC, like, you like, oh yeah, yeah, weather is nice, huh? Like, it just, like, I didn't have anything left. Okay, I do have a story.
I'm ready for it.
This is from user OneReflection4736.
OneReflection4736.
You don't really have one reflection, though, do you? Ever been in one of those little mazes, those little funhouse mirror mazes?
Dude, I have been. I fucking hit. I remember I was probably like six. I for some reason thought that I would go through the maze much quicker if I started sprinting, and I fucking bonked my noggin probably harder than I ever have before in my life.
And you had a big head as a kid.
I was a little skinny guy with a giant head.
Like true bobblehead, just boing.
Yeah, I shook the whole fucking building with how big that dome was.
All right, here's what one reflection 4736 says. Discovered this weekend that our DM has stolen the entire setting and plot without telling us.
Oh.
So we've been playing this campaign for about 5 months now. It was presented to us as if the DM's DM's homebrew setting, magic system, and plot. The realization came like this. This weekend, the morning after our most recent session, I was doing dishes and talking to my wife, who is also a player in this campaign. She asked me if the campaign was in a pre-existing setting, because place names were sounding familiar to her. I said no, as far as I was aware, this was the DM's own creation. Oh, how wrong I was. We looked up the place name and saw it attached to a fandom wiki. We checked the fandom wiki. We saw everything described to us in-game, down to NPC names, the magic system, even the plot up to what we have played so far. Fuck. It's an entire novel series. Now, my problem with this isn't that the DM decided to use these novels for this campaign, but that they presented it as if it was their own homebrew.
Plagiarism.
What do y'all think? Am I crazy? Is the DM? Where do we go from here? And then there's a couple edits here where we responded to comments.
Okay.
There seems to be a bit of a misunderstanding, as I was somewhat vague in the post, that the DM doesn't find this before we're ready to address it. But to answer some points I've seen, on the overall, no, the players have not been having fun. It isn't a borrowed setting, it's the exact plot, to the point where we're being forced to fall around the main character of the series.
What?
And the DM has used a ton of AI in the creation of stat blocks and translation to D&D. And my problem is not at all that this was done. I don't care if the DM wanted to use a pre-existing world and setting and everything. That's fun. That's what D&D is for. My problem is that he's been lying to all of us for months and presenting someone else's work as their own. Since people seem to think that I have no right to complain, I'll elaborate that I was the DM first of a 3-year-long homebrew campaign and setting that we finished a while ago now. I love to DM and prefer over being a player, but the current DM wanted a turn. I understand that it's difficult and some may have a harder time than others in the creative aspect. To lie to us about it is insulting. We are grown adults and close friends.
Yeah, that's wild.
That is pretty wild.
The thing that gets me the most is that they're actively following the main character from the book series. It's like you couldn't even like make them kind of fit in as the main characters. You had to just be like, here's the main character, and you're their little subjects. Welcome to being a pawn, you motherfucker.
Yeah, and like, I think it kind of opens discussion, you know, like, how do you feel about kind of, you know, DM inspiration and taking things and whatever. And like, I'm definitely someone that as a DM, like, I take a lot of inspiration. Yeah. I love when I read a cool, you know, book or watch a movie or watch a TV show or something that has like some really cool concept. But
yeah, and I mean, the thing is, though, is that like, you're not, whenever you take, like, say, like when we played the Strahd adjacent campaign, you didn't just steal Curse of Strahd. That campaign was significantly different than Curse of Strahd. The only thing that was the same was the villain's name was fucking Strahd and he was a vampire. That was it.
Yeah. You can take inspiration. I would never, like, I don't think, you know, stealing something completely outright is probably the best move. One, because, you know, like this story, like your players could figure that out and that could cheapen the experience.
I mean, make it significantly worse. I think there's a way that you could, I mean, you could like take a world and make it work, but
definitely,
like if you were to be like, okay, let's run a campaign in Alexandria, we're going to the full freaking Critical Role setting. It's like, okay, that's
Alexandria. Yeah.
That's like, that's, I'm fucking down for it. There's a ton of lore. The place is cool. We absolutely cannot follow the path that Vox Machina follows in Exandria. It's not. It doesn't work. It's bad.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be
ridiculous.
But
the setting can be fine.
Especially because your players, if they do figure it out or if they are familiar with the series, like, they're going to see so much of the story coming, and that's not enjoyable. You know, like, you don't want it to get spoiled for you because you realize that you're just playing Percy Jackson or whatever.
Yeah.
I think
a good set, like a good setting, we've not played it before, but I think what's the Star Wars one? Edge of the Empire.
Edge of the
Empire could work. I think Edge of the Empire, you're like it, I mean, it's Star Wars, it's meant to fit in the Star Wars universe. But like,
Star Wars tabletop RPG.
Yeah, if I saw Luke Skywalker in Edge of the Empire, I'm not going to be like, holy shit, my game's broken. It's like, oh my god, there's a Jedi in front of me, because that's the setting then.
Yeah.
But if like, if the setting was like, all right, you open up, Keegan, you're on a dusty planet filled with fucking sand. There's two fucking suns. Your Uncle Ben slaps you on the ass and tells you you got to get to work. Like, obviously, you know what's going to happen there. I mean,
I'd be upset that Uncle Ben is touching me that way.
I mean,
there's definitely, like, the expectations that you set for your players has a big effect on that. And so if you go into it thinking that it's completely homebrew and, you know, that they've created all this and you find out it's not, that might feel a little
cheap or something. There's a difference between plagiarism and, what's the word?
Right.
Citing, basically, abbreviating.
Yeah, or just like, you know, taking artistic license to something, you know, something, you know,
parodying,
a creative twist, parody, yeah, sure, something like that. But sometimes, you know, like, especially like, you know, I've read a book, you know, like I recently read a kind of older sci-fi book, you know, that was not like incredibly popular or whatever, and like I knew that like none of my players have ever read this book. They probably will never read this book. And if I wanted to take the world, the magic system, and some names, I probably could and maybe would. I definitely wouldn't have you guys follow the same story. I would try to create, you know, something that is more fitting to a tabletop RPG, because movie plots or book stories, you know, the kind of plot and pacings of those things, they don't fit well into a tabletop RPG. Because they're so player driven, your players are going to choose where to go, who to talk to, how to interact with the world, and it's never going to line up with how the main character did.
And I guess if you like get into it and they're just like, oh, we're going to follow the exact steps happened in this book, you have to railroad them the entire time.
Yeah, that doesn't sound fun for any party involved.
And it doesn't sound like they had much fun.
No, it doesn't. I'm really curious to know what the book series is. I tried to look through the comments. It doesn't look like they've said, but you definitely take inspiration. You know, if you think something's cool and really interesting, chances are your players will also find that really cool and interesting. So finding ways to incorporate, you know, your kind of favorite themes or storylines or whatever into your own campaigns is not a bad idea at all. It's something I often do. I would just find a way to make it your own. If it is something more obvious or more popular, you know, if you're running a campaign like Jake's Star Wars example, maybe it's not a desert planet. Maybe it's an ice planet. And maybe, they don't have to be the biggest changes suns. In the world. Yeah, there's three moons and it's an ice planet. But, trying to just tweaking it, to the best of your ability and making it your own. And then as the campaign progresses and your players start to, kind of shape the world as well with their choices, it will become something truly unique, which is, I think, the coolest part about tabletop RPGs. But yeah, try to make it your own, especially if it's something that is more popular or more kind of current or your players might recognize.
Yeah, I think from a player's perspective, I feel cheated in a way. Especially if that person was claiming this is a totally homebrew thing that I'm making up here. I'd be like, if I found out, I'd be like, all right, I'm sorry. I can't play this anymore. Knowing exactly what the story is going to be. It ruins everything.
That is true. That would make it really hard. I think if I realized that a campaign we're playing was, kind of ripped from something, I think I would definitely find it odd, especially if the DM had presented it as his own thing. And I think I might see that as that's not super cool.
Mm-hmm.
But if it just is a little bit more organic and you're like, oh, this kind of reminds me a lot of this book series or whatever, and your DM's like, yeah, actually I read that and I took a lot of inspiration, but it still is it's own original story and, mm-hmm. Has kind of become its own thing, then that's cool. And now, I don't see an issue with that. But yeah, trying to actively saying that you created it and it's, your homebrew and stuff, that's weird. That's not necessary.
Yeah,
I thought that was odd. But yeah, I think that's kind of where I wanted to go was, what was the player's perspective, and as a DM, kind of some tips on if you do kind of take inspiration.
Yeah, I mean, inspiration's fine. That's how you... It's hard, especially now, because ideas mm-hmm. are, new ideas especially, are hard to come across, because there's been so right. much focus on creativity and storytelling in the last century, especially, that mm-hmm.
It's so widespread, anybody
can access anything. So you have just a vast wealth of information and infinite storytelling that's basically been going on for the last 200 years, because... for the most part, humanity has figured out how to survive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I understand that coming up with new things is hard. So taking inspiration is obviously something that we all kind of lean into for everything mm-hmm. at this point anymore. And in storytelling, especially, there's tropes that we look at in the movies and films. I mean, if you're coming up with brand new creative ideas, hell yeah, go you. But also, mm-hmm. if your campaign is partially Mad Max and partially fantasy, hey, as long as your players are having fun, that's what matters. But right. directly plagiarizing something is not okay, in my opinion.
Yeah, it could be okay if your players know that's what you're doing. If you tell your players hey, don't read this book series because we're we're gonna basically play that bar for bar, and they're cool with that, then.
Sick as fuck. But that's not what this person chose to do. This person chose to say, no. I'm homebrewing all of this, and then probably fucking gaslight them if they ever question anything.
Yeah. And something you said kind of reminded me of a thing where often, even when I do create something completely homebrew from the ground up, you'll get close to things that already exist, mm-hmm. and you might not even realize it. Maybe, you make a NPC that is very similar to something that exists in media, and you don't realize, or sometimes your players will say, oh, that's a lot like this thing. And you're like, oh yeah, that is, mm-hmm. And you didn't even realize, it kind of came from your subconscious, or especially when you're trying to come up with names for places, so often, my brain will pull a name and I'm like, ooh, that's a really cool name. Let me put this down. And then later on, or someone else will realize that's a name. That's a pre-existing thing. Well, we had a player recently when we were creating characters, the player came to me and was like, yeah, I think I'm going to play this kind of nobleman. His name's going to be Thomas Wayne. I thought that had a really cool kind of ring to it. And I'm like, you're playing Batman's dad? And he's like, oh, fuck. He's like, I didn't even realize. Like, I totally thought I came up with that. I'm like, no worries. And then he came up with a different name and it was great. But like, your brain will totally do that to you. So,
yeah.
You know, regardless if you're taking inspiration or creating stuff on your own, like, there's going to be allegories, you know, to things that kind of are already out there. And I sometimes, actually, as a DM, have, like, been maybe even slightly, like, hurt or, like, I can't think of a very good word.
Insulted? Like,
not insulted, like, kind of unmotivated after finding out that, like, after, like, a player kind of calls out, like, oh, this character's a lot like this, and you're like, oh, yeah, I guess it is, you know, because you thought you created something really cool and original, and then they're like, oh, it's just this guy.
I remember when we had that conversation, but
yeah, but I talked about that before a little bit. But
the kind of the go ahead onto that is that that's a lot of the way that people sees the world and imagines it. So, like, I don't know if you've seen the pictures where it's like four different apples, and it's how vividly does your imagination see the apples. Yeah. Like, for me, my imagination sees a perfectly crisp, clear apple. Like, I could eat it sitting right in front of me.
Yeah, it's 3D, but for some people,
it's a 2D little crayon drawing apple that a fourth grader did, and they need that, like, that beat of, oh, that's kind of like this, to for them to fully visualize it. And that for me true. Is that's why, really like, if anyone, like, points something out like that and I'm DMing, I'm like, yeah, that's super cool. I like, yeah. If that's how you visualize it, like, that's how you visualize it. And, like, it kind of sucks sometimes when they're, like, when someone, like, blurts over your story to point that out. But also, it's helping them visualize it, so I can't be too disappointed in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a really good point. That's a really good way to think about it, rather than just like, because, you know, like, comparison is the thief of joy kind of thing, you know, and like, sometimes that's how I've felt about it, but I think that's a much better outlook, is like, they're interacting with something that they're familiar with to even better understand your world and your NPCs.
Yeah, I think that's
nicer way to think about it.
Sometimes, like, it could be a compliment. Like, I super respect a lot of the media that they're comparing it to. And if in their mind, they're like, oh my God, that's just like this. I'm like, fuck, dude. I'm on my high horse right now. Hell yeah. You know what I mean?
My BBG is like Darth Vader. People love Darth Vader.
People fucking love Darth Vader, dude.
That's true.
All right. I've got one about a bad DM. Okay. This is from MattsChen99. They say, DM thinks it's funny if players die. So this is a pretty long story. I won't get too deep into it. But essentially, they're playing first edition because the DM doesn't want to play 5e. And it gets into that they, like, get in their first fight, and the thief ends up with 1 HP. The monk wants to heal him. But the DM, like, tells the monk to not waste the heal on the thief, all right? Because it'll only heal 3 and they can heal 6 or whatever. And then the DM goes ahead and tells the hunter, which is like a ranger in first edition, that they don't have access to basically any of their skills. So, like, a hunter would get an animal companion. But the DM was saying that you have to find one or tame one for the first time for that to unlock. And there's a lot of instances like that where they do this.
Yeah.
And the DM says that they don't have any story. No story at all. It's fully sandboxed. There's no plot. It's fully player driven. Which, like, hey, I mean, that's kind of cool, I guess. It'd be nice if there was, like, something for me to look forward to, but sure. And then the players go over a bridge, and one of them fails a dex save and falls off the bridge and dies.
Bummer, dude.
Yep.
What a way to go.
And then, it's basically that. The DM just keeps They just basically are saying, like, oh, DM killed this character too. And the person says that, hey, there's surface level of DMD, so is this, like, normal? Do we just walk around and die and do, like, weird stuff?
Definitely not normal.
Yeah.
Man, that is a bummer. Not probably a campaign I would play in.
No.
I would probably be looking for a new game at that point, a new dungeon master. But some people, they do like, especially those older systems, I think it makes a little bit more sense to me that this person wants to play in first edition, mm-hmm. because a lot of stuff like that did exist in first edition, like, you know, really dangerous, like mm-hmm. insta-kill type traps and, yep. you know, dangers and stuff.
I remember a rule from first edition is if you get poisoned, you just die, because nowhere in the instructions of first edition does it say what poison does. So everyone has just come to the consensus that it just kills you.
That's brutal. I've never heard that.
Yeah, and you have
but
no
yeah
health.
I know that stuff like that did exist. It was dangerous. Yeah, you have very low HP. It sounds like this dungeon master wants to run like a Dark Souls level, just like brutal, not even Dark Souls, more like survival, you know, kind of game, like really crunchy, brutal game, which some people might be into. Make like the thing that bothers me most about that one would probably be like the telling like the ranger that, you know, they have to go through all these extra steps to unlock an ability when it's like, nah, dude, like I hit this level, like I have this ability now, like that's a bummer. But again, I mean, that could be something that if your players want that, like if they want to, you know, put the work into like have to unlock everything, like it could be fun. But yeah, that doesn't sound like a game I would want to be in.
No,
it wouldn't work for me.
Like a game I would actually hate to be in.
Yeah, I can't, man. Just going across a bridge and just getting a deck save, and then when you fail, being like, "Oh, you fall off and die."
Yeah,
like. What an unsatisfying character death. Like, what if you, imagine, you know, you really liked that character. Like, that sucks.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you're fighting a dragon,
like in that,
you know,
campaign,
cool.
I don't think they ever had a chance to like the character. It's kind of a shitty thing, too.
They're rerolling every session, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah, it said in there that they would literally remake characters mid-session.
Wow. I've had that happen a couple times. But we were playing, I was playing in like Dungeon Call Classics, things like that. And like they have what are called like meat grinders or like meat grinder dungeons or whatever, which like you'll like make four characters with the expectation that like only one of them will make it out. Mm-hmm. And they'll actually have like sheets that are like, you know, cut
well,
into
that's
like four
like
pieces,
the,
you know.
What was that one system we played where we used the dread thing? Like, we were expected to basically only part of us to make it out. Do you know what I'm talking about? We played it with Joe.
Oh, the alien like one?
Yeah, and dread's the Jenga Tower one.
Oh, yeah, I'm not totally sure if it was the complete system, but it was kind of a hack on a game called Mothership, which is a very sci-fi, alien-esque, mm-hmm. You know, you're on a scrapper.
But yeah, I mean, obviously, like, if it's, like, anything like the movie, like, I literally just watched the movie Alien, so I think I make, like, explicitly made to talk about this, but in the movie Alien, the first one, one person survives out of the seven. That's kind of like how it was meant to be. And that, you know,
yeah,
that
any
can be,
like horror genre.
That can be like a cool one shot where it's like at any point your character can die, and that is then like that is the end of the game for you. Like that can mm-hmm. be a super cool, fun one shot. But a campaign? No, absolutely not. That's terrible.
Yeah, that I don't think that would be as fun. And like having like, you know, those kind of multiple characters and like ending up with one at the end of it is like kind of an interesting way to like, you know, give yourself a couple options, and then you see what survives, and you're like, oh, this guy made it. He's going to be my main character now. Mm-hmm. Now he's going to, you know, he's rather than being like a level zero, basically like NPC type stat block, now he's going to get a full character sheet, be like a thief or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's kind of cool. That like builds, gives you like not a full backstory, but a little bit of just like, you know, personal attachment to the character's mm-hmm. history. Like, yeah, he survived, you know, he made it out. And so
he
now
he survived the one shot.
But that doesn't really sound like that's the DM's goal. It sounds like he's just Just killing him to kill him.
Yeah, it sounds like the DM's goal is, like, torture, basically. Like, how can I make this as unfun as possible?
I can't imagine. Like, those stories always make me wonder, like what, you know, I wish I could, like, talk to the DM from that game, kind of, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's like, I know that's not their goal.
I know in your brain, my guy.
Yeah, like, I know that they probably want to have fun and stuff, but, you know... But when you get that only that one side of the story, that one perspective, it really sounds like it's just like a just unhealthy, unfun game.
Oh, yeah. Like, as a player, if you were to do that with a campaign, I, honest to God, don't think I could play. I don't think I could play. Like,
yeah.
Like, if you're just like, let's go fucking kill crazy right here, and everybody dies every session, I'd be like, I want to like my character, but I don't have an opportunity to because they die every time I do anything.
Yeah, I want to, like, develop them. Yeah. Well, and that's definitely personal preferences for parties that maybe don't role play as much, or, you know, care about, you know, kind of a character backstory. Like, I, you know, maybe it's like, this way we get to try out a bunch of classes. River, it's like, okay, cool.
Sure.
So that's a play style thing. That's not something that I would be interested in. I like to kind of develop those characters and, yeah, you know,
and like character deaths can be like super cool and impactful, and like they make sense at the time, they feel right, and they happen. But if it's just always, if it's every session, then it's like, what happens when the original party just doesn't exist anymore? You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, that's a tough, like, how do you roleplay out of that too?
Yeah.
And like a good, you know, PC death can be really fun, you know? Like, you know, I mean, it's always a bummer to lose your character, but, like, it could, like, really bring the party together in a way that they weren't before, you know? Now, like, especially if, like, it's a death to, you know, the BBG, or, like, the BBG's kind of machinations or whatever, and then so it's like, now they really hate the
now
boss.
There's really
they,
a reason
they really
to kill
want it. Like, there's a strong personal investment. That's kind of awesome. But even then, like, even when that happens, like, coming in as the new character, you know, like, introducing your new character and stuff is always a little tough. You always feel like the odd man out, you know, a little bit.
Yeah, I think a lot of the times, like, I mean, not to pick on you, because I know that you haven't played as much, but you do love a good player death, and also do love making new characters.
True.
And yes, I you know, you're super creative and like that, you like the process of making things, but I think sometimes it's at the detriment of your current character.
That is true, and I think I've gotten much better about
yes, because in high school I remember. Probably your best PC, which I won't get into too much, because I think we're for sure going to do our top PCs episode at some point. But your best PC that you've done, and then he dies, and then the next session you introduce this next character, and then we stop playing the campaign after one session. And I was like, fuck, it fell apart so fast. It's not like explicitly your fault, but that one I remember that one session with the new character, it was so freaking weird.
Yeah, it was definitely different. That campaign mostly fell apart after that session because of COVID and stuff. There was a lot of things that went into that campaign. But yeah, that was a bummer. And yeah, I think it comes from kind of being the forever DM, is that I haven't gotten to play a lot of characters. Yeah. And so I have a lot of really good character ideas rattling around up there. And so I would start playing one and I'd be like, yeah, this character's fun, but I also have this really cool other idea. And so I'd kind of want to play them. And yeah, it definitely was not in my best interest at the time. But yeah, that luckily I've outgrown that to a certain extent. Not all of it. I mean, I even like the character I'm playing in our current campaign. I like a lot, and I do have a really good idea for the next character. I'm just not letting that ruin my enjoyment of this character. I'm just going to run this character, you know.
Yeah, I'm super excited for the next campaign, but I also we've also played like 10 or 11 sessions with this character that I'm in right now, so I'm kind of into this one right now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that is It is hard though, like introducing new characters, and so I can't imagine doing that at that frequency.
Yeah, introducing a new character, you're having characters die all the time. A session.
Yeah,
even like yeah, that's a little it's wild. It sounds like the DM is trying to run this more as a board game than as like a TTRPG. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They're like, all right, yeah. So you have to defeat this dungeon, and if your characters die, who cares? Just make another one. We'll keep going in the dungeon. Maybe they just want to like do dungeon crawls. Like,
that's true.
Like, if you like dungeon crawls, then do dungeon crawls. But if you want to play D&D, you should probably play D&D.
Yeah. Like, you lose your character, and then in the next, you know, then they die, or they've died, and then in the next room, there's, like, a guy chained up, and it's like, oh, this is my new character, and they're right back, they're right into the party, and then they die, and then the next room, it's like, yeah. Oh, you see these goblins are holding a guy over a fire, and it's like, okay, and then that's going to be your next character, because you have to have somebody to play. It's like...
I remember the first the first time we played, when you DM'd, it was a dungeon crawl that we did, and I played a barbarian.
This is, bear in mind for people listening, this is like sixth grade. We're like 12.
Yeah, we were 12 and we were having a good time, and that's all that mattered. But yeah. I mean, that's basically essentially what happened. So we get into this like area where we have to sneak past this thing that'll essentially one shot you, and I, being the giant barbarian, went to go sneak in last, and I remember being the most nervous for this role, because this is our first time playing, and I was like, what if my character dies here?
I remember this vividly.
And I remember it so well, too. And then I roll, and I have a -1 in dexterity, so I have -1 in stealth. And I rolled a 1, so I rolled a 0. And everyone at the table was so flabbergasted. I think you had a -2. I might have had a -2. I might have rolled a -1.
I think you rolled a -1.
I remember all of our friends were just screaming. They were so flabbergasted that I happened to roll a -1. So you're just like, yeah, you get torn to shreds by this guy. And then you just had like an extra character sheet made up for just in case this exact thing happened.
That was a Dungeon Crawl Classic, DCC, which it's I think I owe an explanation here. So we were playing 5th edition because my dad introduced me to D&D, and then I gathered all my little nerdy friends up, and I'm like, you guys, we're going to play this. This is going to be great. So I had the Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition Player's Handbook, DM's guide and stuff. So we were making characters with those rules. But then I would take my dad's Dungeon Crawl Classic. They would come in like little like magazines basically. And like every single one was like its own little Dungeon Crawl / adventure. And so I would take one of those, and every week we would just play a different one. It was like a totally whole new thing, right? But we didn't care. We were just, and it was so ridiculous and everything went crazy. We talked about that one story about somebody like hiding in a bowl of nacho cheese. That comes from that. It was total ridiculousness, middle school stuff. And so that is what I was talking about though, with those like really harsh Dungeon Crawl Classic or like, you know, old school tabletop RPG rules, is like, it was like you were traveling through this like jungle, and there was like this giant like plant pod, vine pod thing that you had to walk through. And there was like a vine panther in there.
And vine panther.
It basically, it basically said like, it's like a, when you move through this plant pod, there's like a DC whatever stealth check, like 10 or 15 or something. And if the character fails, the vine panther snatches them up and rips them apart, and they instantly die. Like, that was just it. That was in the book. That's just that. And then your poor barbarian with like a -2 to stealth rolls a -1 basically. And so you just ran in there screaming, and you got ripped to shreds.
I remember the thing that, because we were in middle school, we weren't role playing at this point, but you kind of like knew what you're doing just because of your dad.
Yeah.
And I remember vividly, this is sneak.
Yeah, you were screaming, this is sneak, as you ran in, and this poor, he got ripped to shreds.
And of course, middle school me was so embarrassed by this, because I was like, oh, my friends think I'm an idiot now.
Oh, that's funny. I don't remember it that way at all. I just thought it was funny.
I mean, it was really funny, but I was like, I remember, like, my face was probably so red, and I was just like, oh, I was the first one to die. Why was it me?
Well, and then a couple rooms later, there was, like, this dwarf character.
Yeah, and I got the
and
dwarf
it says,
character.
Like, it says... Yeah, it says in the Dungeon Crawl Classic, like, if a player has died thus far, like, here's the dwarf's stat block, and they can play this dwarf now.
Yeah, and I got the dwarf character, and it was so overpowered.
Yeah, he had, like, a whetstone that would, like, make his weapon do more damage, and he was, like, way busted. It was crazy.
That was, that was 11 years ago, and we remember it so vividly.
Yeah, that's the magic of this medium, mm-hmm. man. Tabletop RPGs, that is the magic. Like, you are getting together with your friends, you know, in person or online, you know, you're getting together, just laughing, having the best time, telling a good story. And, you know, could we have spent, you know, that Saturday playing video games? Sure. But, and we did a lot of weekends. We played video games for a very long time. But, you know, could I tell you what was happening when we were playing video games 11 years ago?
No,
absolutely not. But I can tell that story in vivid detail because it was so impactful. And I could tell you 20 more from that era of D&D, you know, all the way up until now.
And I'm sure our moms were glad that we were just playing video games too. We were actually hanging out with friends.
Yeah, we were down there laughing, having a good time. We were probably too loud for sure sometimes, but...
Now, this is why at the age of 20, almost 24, I think right now what I'm, like, looking the most forward to in, like, later life is for my children to be doing exactly what I did in middle school, just hanging out with their friends, playing D&D, and then I want to be like your mom, where I just go down there and just interrupt it every once in a while and bring them treats.
Yeah, that's how, like, my dad's, so, like, my dad, obviously, he's been playing D&D, you know, he was born in 1973. He was playing D&D not long after that. You know, he's OG. And it's funny how, like, his group has evolved, because he grew up in a small town and played with his friends in, you know, elementary school, middle school, like we did. And a couple of those friends he's still playing with in person. They've all moved to a different town, and he's still playing with them. And now, like, a lot of those people's kids are also playing. So he's playing with his original friends and their kids, who are now adults and have joined the group. You know,
and
like,
every once in a while we
crazy.
Play a game with your dad. And I think I think he really likes being like, oh, I introduce these little bitches to this, and they come here and worship me.
he's like the. We've got to have him on an episode.
I love your dad, dude. He's so cool.
I would love to pick his brain about tabletop.
He's got so much experience in it. There's something in there that we haven't unlocked yet.
Oh man, his room where they play, like, the walls are just lined with books, you know, D&D books but you know, just tabletop RPG games of every system you can imagine, like everything. It's crazy.
He's
so
got
cool.
The best knickknacks too.
Oh yeah, all the weirdest stuff.
There's like like rat skulls and a full bat skeleton in there.
it's a full real dungeon, man. It's crazy.
Awesome. All right, so I think to end this episode out, I'd like to say I'll finish this one. Keegan, you take a little set back.
All right, I can't wait.
Sit down, motherfucker. I just want to say thanks to everybody that's been watching or listening so far. I mean, we've gotten some decent views on it, and if you do like it, like, follow and share with some of your friends if you think that they'll like it. It goes a long ways. Word of mouth is obviously the best way to advertise in this space. So if you like it, just go ahead and share it with your friends. And after that,
rate it five stars.
Spotify does look at that, and they do
if
like
you rate it.
Rate
it five stars. We'll read it. We'll read your review on here.
Yeah, I will personally go to your house and hand you $5.
Whoa! They're gonna hold you to that.
I won't
you're
do that.
Broke,
I lied,
man.
For legal reasons, that was a joke.
And email us.
Yes, please email.
Our email
it's
is in the description.
It is at the Northwoodpod.com. So if you
northwoodpod@gmail.com.
If you send us an email there, just make sure to put in the subject line, "Hey Jelly Dudes," and that way I know that you've got a question for us.
And or just a funny tabletop RPG story.
If you've got a good story, I will read it, and I will force Keegan to read it. Mm-hmm. And we'll probably find it entertaining enough to put on here. But yeah, I think that's all we've got for today. Do you have anything else?
I can't wait for our first email, man. That's gonna be
our first email. Put a crown on that guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think that's all I got, man. If you're interested, we have another podcast called The Northwood Project. It's a horror anthology, more of a narrative kind of audio drama like podcast. So check that out. We're working really hard on that. That one takes a lot more effort, so it's more slow going. But check that out. And yeah, thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate it. We hope you've had a fun time and maybe even learned something about tabletop RPGs. I don't know.
All right, I think that's all we've got for you guys today. We've been the Jelly Dudes. Bye.
Goodbye.